Good evening. It is wonderful to be with you once again on this beautiful night. All is well. There are no mistakes. Everything is in its right place, unfolding as it should. Never be fearful by a condition that comes to you. All conditions for your growth, for your spiritual maturity. And there's no such thing as an evil condition or a negative condition. It's only your perception, how you see it. In reality, all is well. Exceedingly well. As you unfold into your own reality, you will begin to feel everything is exceedingly well. There never were any mistakes. You are in your right place right now, going through the experiences that you need for your fulfillment and attainment. Right now you are free and liberated. Right this moment you are the absolute reality. By accepting this in your heart, it becomes so. By listening to me intellectually, you remain the same as you are. Do not hear me intellectually. Hear me in your heart. Which means there are no thoughts, no evaluations, no assessments. Only love. There are two questions that most people usually ask me now and again, and we will discuss them this evening. The first question I'm usually asked is this: Robert, if consciousness is all there is, and consciousness is absolute reality, pure awareness, all-pervading omnipresence, where does evil come from? If the world is a projection of consciousness, like begets like. How can there be disease, lack, limitation, man to man to man? Where does this come from? How does it appear? This is a valid question, relevant question. The second question I'm usually asked is this: is that thing for beginners only? For people just starting out on the spiritual path? Who really has to come to that thing? What is it all about? That again is a relevant question. We shall discuss these questions right now. The first question: if consciousness is all there is, it's all pervading, it's everywhere present. In other words, there's no place where consciousness is not. What we call consciousness is the absolute reality. It is the substratum of all existence. It is the all in all. And the world, the universe, is a state of the manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, how can there be evil, sickness, lack, limitation, man to man to the man? These dastardly conditions that seem to exist. How do they get here? Where do they come from? Are there two powers? Not really. There's only the one. When consciousness looks at itself, it only sees itself, it doesn't see this world as we do. It sees itself as bliss. Somehow when a human being appears in this earth, his perception is completely different. For consciousness sees everything in the here and now. What we call good and bad is not felt or seen by consciousness at all. What we call good and bad, duality, is oneness in consciousness. One power, one presence, one consciousness. But when we see it in time and space. In consciousness, there couldn't possibly be any time and space. There's nowhere for time and space to be. Since consciousness pervades the entire universe, it is the entire universe. There's no time and space in it. There's no room for time and space. It's just the one consciousness. When we appear, we work in duality, we live in duality. So it appears as if there are two powers, good and bad, right and wrong, up and down. This is called duality. So if we call evil, if we call bad, wrong, it's really a process. It's not really bad or wrong, or good or anything. It's a process in time and space. In other words, to us, spread out. There has to be good to have bad, and there has to be bad to have good. Almost like that is impossible in a phenomenal world. Totally impossible. As long as we live in a phenomenal world, we'll always be good and bad, right and wrong, up and down, sickness and health, lack, limitation, plenty. The two sides of the same coin. But in consciousness, they both come together and become one. We say the spirit part and become two. What I'm trying to say, there really isn't any bad. Nothing's ever wrong. In order for a human being to fulfill his higher potential, it appears that he has to go through a lot of suffering. And then you can see why most of the sages really suffered, went through all kinds of hell. For it appears that the more suffering you go through, the higher you become spiritually. Strange but true. We call suffering the misnomer. It really isn't suffering. Who suffers? no one's really suffering, you just feel that it's wrong. You feel something's wrong someplace because it's not going the way that you think it should be. For instance, when this body begins to rot from disease, gets older and older, old age comes in. This is considered bad to most of you. It's not bad at all. And so you can have eternal life. To have eternal life, the so-called physical form has to disappear. The example I always give you, if you plant a seed in the ground, and if you were the size of an atom, when the seed begins to germinate, it would be like a nuclear explosion to you, being the size of an atom. Everything would blow to bits. The end of the universe, the end of the world. And then the rose comes out. The rose comes out of the big explosion when the seed germinates. This is true of everything in your life. This is the way of the world, the way of phenomena. Ponder this deeply. You can't have one without the other. A person who has a lot of money, that seems to be good. And then problems come with the money. Kidnappers try to kidnap you for holding for ransom. The IRS comes after you, you got a chair. Relatives come knocking at your door. There's our bodyguards. You worry about your children going to school, being kidnapped. So forth and so on. In other words, riches bring their own problems. When anybody has a disease, cancer, what have you, this appears to be bad. But is it really bad? Who said he's supposed to live forever in his body? But you're saying, I don't mind dying, but I don't want to suffer while I'm dying. Who really suffers? The ego, not you. It's virtually impossible for you to suffer. But the ego appears to suffer. The ego has a problem, not you. You're totally free and liberated. Because you're living in time and space. Everything is stretched out. Therefore, they become totally liberated. Everything has to go. Everything has to, there's got to be constant change, complete change inside of you. And the change may cause some friction. When you come into your own. Consequently, it's we who see bad. We who see good. If we're thinking in terms of the absolute reality, there would be no good or bad at all. It wouldn't exist. It would just be bliss. This is why a person on the path of Advaita refuses to acknowledge bad or good. Do not pay too much attention to the world and its manifestations. A person on this path usually sees everything as an expression of consciousness, and all is well, there are no mistakes. There's nothing to accept, nothing to reject. I'm not saying to become passive and do nothing, and just accept your fate. I am saying to you, turn within and look deep within your heart and contact your reality. You'll be totally free from the brain. Do not keep your mind in the ways of the world. Do not keep thinking about the world and its good and its bad times. Do not waste your time wishing for $1 million or to live this way or that way or be the healthiest person on earth. This is not the reason why you're here. You're here to find yourself. Yet you never lost yourself, you can't find yourself. You never lost. You're here to recognize this. To understand these great truths. That you're not here to achieve great happiness or great sorrow. These things are only for a time and they run out and turn into something else. Observe yourself. You're not the same person who was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago. Yet your eye is the same. The same eye persists when you're really young and when you're old. The same eye persists. The eye never changes. Once you're able to say, I was young, I was a little girl, a little boy, then you say I was a teenager, then you say now I am a man or a woman, but notice as the body changes, the eye never changes. The eye always remains the same. You have to question yourself, therefore, who is this I? Where did it come from? Who is the I that never changes? Where does I come from who's always the same? Who is the observer of my sleeping stage, my dreaming stage, my waking stage? The I is always valid, always around, never leaves you. When you say, I slept well, I dreamt, I'm awake. I was a child, I'm an adult. The eye has always been the same eye, always the same eye. final of the eye is where the eye come from, what invented, who gave it birth. Where does this eye come from? Find out. If you discover your eye, you'll be totally free. These are the things you have to work on. Don't spend your time using your thoughts, your thinking, your mind, your power for this world, worldly things. For all worldly things have to change. They're never the same. And by allowing yourself to think on worldly things, you're missing the whole point of your birth, of being in human form. Every day you should be aware of I. You should remember to remember. And I am this and I am that. This and that changes, but the I never changes. So you inquire, where did the I come from? Who am I? What is this thing called I? As you keep doing this day after day, you'll notice you become more peaceful. The anger drops away from you. The greed, the reactive ability that you used to have disappears. You're no longer worried or troubled, no matter what happens. You're no longer worried or troubled. Whatever happens in this world, or what happens in your life, no longer gives you any problems. You just observe it, you watch it, follow it to the heart, let it go, takes care of itself, and you become happy. You no longer become insulted if somebody tells you something that you don't like to hear. You no longer suspicious or doubtful about things. We begin to feel everything in its right place. Everything is where it belongs. You know, no mistakes. Everything is fine, just the way it is. You leave people alone, you leave conditions alone, you leave things alone. This takes care of the first question. Now the second question. Is that thing only for beginners? Or for everybody? Or for advanced people? To answer that question, you have to ask yourself, what is that thing really? Such thing as being in the light. Seeing the light. And such thing only for certain people, for beginners. It would be like the sun. Showing a certain people, you get a nice suntan. And then you say, I don't need any more sun. Wherever you go, there's a sun. Can't get away from the sun. You walk outside, you'll see the sun, it'll be shining on you, no matter how much sand you've got. No matter how much sand you've got, you can't escape from the sun. It's always there, it's always shining on you. And so is the satsang. Satsang is for everyone. Except when you become self-realized. At that time, there's nothing you have to do. But until that time comes, satsang is for everyone. We in the West are always in a hurry. In a hurry to become enlightened, in a hurry to become self-realized. We in the West want to get on with our life. We think this way, I want to become self-realized so I can get on with my life. I have many other things to do. If I get self-realized, I get out of the way, continue my work, get a promotion in my office. That's what we think. But it's not like that. Not like that at all. Many people have to go through many incarnations, so to speak. Many, many incarnations, many lifetimes. Being here tonight, you've earned it. Not because of me necessarily, but you've earned your right to come to satsang. Too many lifetimes. After all, how many people can be interested in something like this? Most people are too busy to get into something like this. Too busy creating problems for people. Doing unsensical things. There have been people in ashrams who have come very far in this past. There have been in ashrams for 25, 30 years. Take Ramana Ashram. When I was there, people who have been living there for 25, 30, 40 years. They know every word that Ramana Maharshi was going to utter. Whatever he says, they can say before him. To be aware of his answers to every question. They've heard it thousands of times. Yet these beings were at the stage. We're no longer worrying about being self-realized, being enlightened. It's only new people want to be enlightened. Want moksha liberation. A spiritual being not interested in these things at all. A truly spiritual person just does the work. Not thinking about realization, thinking about moksha. Thinking about being liberated. You don't consider these things. You're not interested in these things at all. Therefore, they're not thinking about getting liberated at all. Forget about it. Just be yourself. Be the person you're meant to be. Loving, kind, peaceful. Liberation will come in its own time. Remember, everything is predestined. Everything. Therefore, why concern yourself with liberation if everything is predestined? At the right time, you'll be liberated. Your job is to become free from anger, free from temper tantrums, free from trying to twist the world, make it go your way, free from attachments. Just saying something like a brother and a sister, when we come together, there's a like mind. We have meetings like this. We enjoy each other's company. As many of you have told me, as the weeks and months and years go by, you're becoming more peaceful. The thing that you desired years ago, I've kind of left you, you no longer desire them at all. You no longer worry or fret. You no longer wonder what's going to happen to you. And you're becoming freer and freer as the years go by, the months go by, weeks go by. Of course, in reality, you're already free. You're really liberated. But this reality will reveal itself to you in due time, in an inimitable way. Don't worry about this, don't concern yourself about this. Be peaceful. Be happy. Let's go deep within right now. Close your eyes. Focus your attention on your right side of your heart, the heart center, on the right side of your chest. Freely feel the breathing on the right side of your chest. feel your breath, respiration. Image of light, a sphere around light, a sphere of beautiful light, bright and shining light in your heart. It feels so warm and cool at the same time. Feel the light in your heart center. A sphere of white brilliant light. Feel it expanding. In your mind, see yourself immersed in this light. Just the way you're sitting right now. Feel yourself sitting in a sphere of round sphere of white brilliant light. Feels so wonderful. Feel the light expanding again. Now everyone in this room is immersed in a beautiful white sphere of light, sphere of white sphere, brilliant light, a sphere of white brilliant light. In your mind, see all of us in this room, in satsang. Immersed in this light. It's still growing, the light is expanding. Expanding very fast now. The whole world is now immersed in this light. Everything, all the trees, everything, animals, every human being, nothing is excluded. Everything is immersed in a sphere of white brilliant light. Feel the light growing, expanding again, expanding. Until our moon and the sun are also in this light. See the moon and sun like two bubbles floating in the light. Light is expanding again. The sphere of white brilliant light is expanding, expanding, until the entire galaxy is immersed in a sphere of white light. In your mind's eye, see billions of bubbles representing planets, satellites, suns, floating in this brilliant white light. Still expanding. Now the entire universe is in this light. nothing's left out. It's all happening within you. Feel it. You are the light. And your mind has created the entire universe out of itself. Fill the entire universe in your mind. As you inhale, everything is sucked in. The whole universe dissolves. As you exhale, all the galaxies are back again. Billions of stars, planets. You have given them life. It is you who have given them life. Because of you they live. Because of your existence is here. You are the one. All of your moods, feelings, ideologies are all from your mind. You are the creator of the whole universe, so out of your mind. As you become aware of this, you become totally free, happy. Nothing can ever hurt you again. You have created everything yourself. All the games that people are playing, all creation out of your mind, all come from you. The Leela is out of yourself. It is your Leela, your game, your universe. You feel wonderful because of this. You are now totally free. Totally liberated and happy.
different than it is. There's no way for something to be different than it is at any particular time. If it's to be different, that brings in the element of time, and time itself is a creation of the mind.
True. Very good, friend.
You mentioned about watching the thoughts without watching. I wonder if that could be made clear. Is it in a sense similar to, if I look at you, I can see things happening here without looking. Is there similar to that? I can't see clearly, I can't see how many fingers, but I can see motion when I'm walking straight. Is that something like you watch thoughts without watching them? How could it be fair?
Who does watching? Oh, you. You know? Find out. You cannot see yourself. You're like a mirror. A mirror can never see itself. So when you're watching, you're seeing your reflection. So you're seeing your reflection. When you look, you see yourself. So when you're not really watching anything, you're just seeing yourself, is what you're doing, you're seeing your reflection. You're doing to watch. If you don't like what you see, change your reflection. By going deeper within yourself, becoming calm and peaceful, then when you see the world, you'll see a different reflection. But you are the world, you are the universe. It's all coming out of you. Wherever you look, you see yourself. And you can't escape from yourself. That's what that saying means, that you can't escape from yourself, because you're always seeing yourself wherever you go. Be still and know that I am God. We've been stopped trying to see things or watch things or do anything. But just go within yourself. And I am. Find where the I am comes from. Who is this I am? And then you'll know what God is. All the answers are within you. Mary, would you like to read the ending?
For the Yahi who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, and no liberation. He is beyond all this. He is firmly established in his own absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, true nature. The further existence of his body and the world appears to the Yami as an illusion, which he cannot remove, but which no longer deceives him. After the death of his body, as in life, he remains where and what he eternally is, the first principle of all beings and things, formless, nameless, unsoiled, timeless, dimensionless, and utterly free, untouched by objects, experience, or thought. Death cannot touch him. Cravings cannot torture him. Sins do not stain him. He is free from all desire and suffering. He sees the infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. The Jnani confesses his experience thus: I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am without beginning or end. I am birthless, deathless, without change or decay. I permeate and interpenetrate all things. In all the myriad universes of thought and creation, I alone am.
Thank you, Mary.